Our lesson this morning, I've picked specifically for this Sunday because I knew it was the Sunday I was going to try to start preaching again. I've called it Living in the Present. And something's not on the screen here, right? Well, we'll do it this way then. That'll work.
They said the stand might be blocking it. Yeah. You're probably better off that way too.
Okay. We'll stick with this. Our scripture this morning is Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16, where Paul says, "Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already arrived in my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained." Paul says, I can't think about what happened in the past. I can't think about what's coming in the future. I just need to live for today. You know, there's an ancient story that tells that just after creation, all the bird types got together and were complaining that they were burdened with these heavy things called wings. They seemed to be useless and heavy and bulky and often got in the way as they walked around on the ground beside all the other animals. Besides, they said no other animals had to carry these things around. Why do we? How surprised they were to hear the Lord tell them that the wings were to allow them to soar above the other animals and see things that others couldn't see. They misunderstood what God intended as a gift to be a burden instead. Do we ever do the same thing? Viewing what God intended as a gift for us to be a burden instead? At the end of 23, I had a heart attack. And throughout most of 24, I was recovering from that, going to therapy and things. And I thought, well, you know, I've been preaching 30 years. It's about time to retire. So I was thinking 2025 probably will be it. And then at the start of this year, I was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer, which had spread to the spine. And I went in to see the doctor and he said, you know, most people with that last maybe 2 years. But he said, who knows? And I thought, well, the only one who knows is the Lord. So I started treatments, and I've been on treatments. Now I've had chemo treatments, and as of this coming Tuesday, I've had 33 radiation treatments also. And the last time the doctor looked, he said, looks like it's in remission. And I said, he said, I don't understand it. I understand it. I've had people praying for me. I've had lots of outside assistance that he didn't know about. You know, when it happened, the first chemo treatment that I had, I thought, I don't know if I can do this because it made me so sick. I didn't even want to get out of bed. And I was laying there in bed and I prayed, Lord, if you will get me through this, I won't stop preaching until you tell me to. And he got me through it. And I intend to keep my vow. Until the Lord tells me to stop or changes something in my life, I won't be here. That's why I'm here this morning. He's given me the strength to be able to feel like I can preach again, like I can give his word out, and I want to do that. You see, I thought it was a burden, but he intended it as a gift. He gave it to me as a gift to say, I'm not done with you yet. Don't stop. You know, Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations 3, verse 21, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is indeed faithful. He can do things that we never thought possible, that people never thought possible. Because he's the one who's in charge, not us, not the doctors, not the medication. It's the Lord who's in charge of things. Great is his faithfulness. And it's essential that we live in the present, not carry the unnecessary guilt of a yesterday that we can't relive, or of a future that we don't know. Instead, simply trusting God's provision every day. You know, some people live 59 minutes out of the day regretting the past with its lost joys, its worries, its failures, or they live their life in a future here on earth wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. Is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? They may live in dread of what's coming. But the only way to live is in the present moment. The here and now. We need to accept it as a gift from God because today is a gift from God. That's why it's called the present. It's a present from him. It's a gift. It's unique and unrepeatable. And it requires that we have a change of heart. If we're going to live in the present, it means that we have to let go of the past, not keep reliving it, not keep going over those old things. Not refusing to let go of the past only takes you down a road to nowhere. We need a new direction, a prayer for strength and a renewed mind to live for God and his son. That's what David was seeking when he said in Psalm 51, verse 9, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. He was looking for that new heart. Today is the time to discard the old habits and the limitations that we thought we had and start anew with God. Be open and responsive to the recognition of God's goodness and his blessings every day. You know, when Jesus was talking to his disciples and they came to him and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. We know he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to notice something about that. This is one continuous thought. It's not a bunch of little thoughts stuck together. It's one continuous statement that he's making. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. He's saying each day forgive us our sins. As we also forgive everyone who sins against us each day. And lead us not into temptation each day. All of these are each day things, one day at a time. Jesus is telling his disciples, take life in the present. Take life one day at a time. Ask for daily bread. Yes, but forgive. Ask for forgiveness of sins. Forgive others. Avoid temptation day by day. Do those things one day at a time. Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 4 and says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. But how can I do that? How can I rejoice always in everything that goes on? In day-to-day living, we experience problems. We feel helpless and alone. But after some time, we start to see that there's more to this than I thought at first. God is working even through the pain, the grief, and God is doing things that we never thought of. You know, since I got sick, I've seen so many changes, so many things that have happened. So many ways the Lord is working. There are people who are taking part in services now that didn't take part in services before. There are people who are doing things now for the Lord that they weren't doing before. There are people who have come to the Lord because of this. There are people who have done all kinds of things. And I'm just amazed. God, how could you take something like that and bring good out of it? And yet he does, time after time. That's why we're told in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. You know, back in our original scripture, Paul wanted the Philippians to know that he was still struggling, that he hadn't crossed the finish line yet. But he was sure that Christ had taken hold of him and was leading him toward that glorious goal, no matter what happened in this life. He uses the illustration of the Roman athletic games where the winner received the prize of a laurel wreath on his head. And to win that laurel wreath, he had to be totally focused on the race. He couldn't look behind. He couldn't look to the side, or he'd lose momentum. When the finish line came into focus, he had to lean forward and strain with everything he had to be the winner of the prize. Paul says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to win the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, when Paul says forgetting what's behind, did he mean literally he forgot everything in the past? Well, look at what he says in Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6, just a few verses earlier. I myself have reason for such confidence. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Paul said, I remember what it was like in the past. I know all these things that I trusted in. He remembered his background, the way he used to be. But he realized he had been forgiven of those things. You see, the past can be forgiven by God's grace. The past can be forgotten by God, but we still remember. God may forget, but we remember. But we can't allow the past to shackle us, to keep us down. Look at what he says in verses 7 through 9. But whatever was for my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul said, all those things that I used to count on don't mean anything anymore. They're just garbage to me. What I'm counting on now is Jesus and His love and His grace and His forgiveness. Do you ever feel embarrassed, guilty, unworthy, or useless because of something that happened in the past? The message of the gospel then is for you. The message of the gospel is that God loves us so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross so that we could be forgiven, so that His blood could pay the price for us, so that we could be in His family. We could receive forgiveness and freedom from the guilt of the past. That's what it's all about. In Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. Nor does He treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us. See, in God's eyes, you're loved. You're worthy. You can admit, yes, I've sinned in the past. Yes, I've messed up. But God's greater than my sin. And He called me to press on toward the goal that He set for me. So the question today is, are you ready to lay down the past and live today for Jesus? Recognizing the blessings that He gives you day by day, living in obedience to His word? Have you obeyed the simple gospel plan of salvation? Are you willing to live in the now and not be stuck in the past or anticipating something happening in the future? Do you follow what Jesus asked you to do? Do you believe in Him? John 6:29, Jesus said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that He sent. He also said that we must repent of our sins. Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you too will all perish. It's those sins that separated us from God. It's those sins that we need to have forgiven. Will you confess your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus to take away those sins? Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. We have to admit that we trust Jesus, that we believe that His blood will take away our sins, that we believe that He did die on the cross for us. And we must show that through our obedience and baptism. Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's what happens when someone hears the gospel and understands it and obeys it. When someone understands what the gospel says, what it requires of us, that's what they're going to do. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and began preaching there to the Samaritans, the one the Jews couldn't get along with. But they believed what he said about Jesus. And when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. You see, when they heard what he said they needed to do, they obeyed it. They did what they needed to do. Will we do that? How do we live day by day? What do we look for? You know, out in the desert, there are two birds that fly around. There's the vulture and there's the hummingbird. Both of them live out in the desert. But all the vulture sees is dead and rotting things because that's what he's looking for. The hummingbird ignores the smell of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms of the desert plants. You see, the vultures live on what used to be. The vultures live on the past. The hummingbird live on what's now. They seek the new blossoms of life every morning. Each one finds what they're looking for. And so do we. If you live your life looking for bad things, you're going to find bad things. There's plenty of them in this world. If you live your life looking for God and His blessings, you're going to find them because there's plenty of them around us. What are we looking for? Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before me endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In other words, focus on Christ and his word. Focus on today. Focus on what I need to do now. Don't be concerned about the past. Don't be concerned about the future. Live for Jesus now. Each day is a gift. Each day is the present. Won't you come to the Lord and find forgiveness and newness even today as we stand together and sing our invitation song?